All right, well, we're going to be in Joel chapter 2 today, if you want to open that up, and we're going to finish our Easter series today. Now, I know what you're thinking, but Zach, you handsome, high-spirited, but hopelessly hapless, harebrained handler of holidays, I hear you say. Easter was last week. We're done with Easter, right? I mean, we put all the decorations away. No one's wearing bunny ears this morning. What's going on? Well, I don't know how things work at your place, but at my place, there's usually at least one Easter egg that the kids don't find until like a week or two, or maybe even later than that, which, by the way, is what made my mom switch from using actual hard-boiled eggs to using plastic eggs with candy in it. And believe me, our carpet thanked us for that. But in any case, I know that Easter has come and gone, but there are still a couple of what I would consider to be Easter-related Easter eggs or phenomena that I'd like to discuss before we say goodbye to this series completely and go back to Luke next week. And in our pre-sermon examples of Easter eggs in movies and TV shows and things like that, we kind of, last week for sure anyway, we got away from the idea of the Easter egg in terms of like the little joke or the reference, and we started talking about things that happen in and around movies in general. And this week, I've been thinking less about the actual movie, and I've been thinking more about any given movie's sequel. You know, if you've ever gone to see a sequel before, there are few of them that are good as the movies that precede them, right? Like, usually the sequels kind of diminish in quality. Some sequels make us wonder, why bother? Space Jam 2, did anybody waste their time with that this summer? Or this new Snow White reboot that no one is talking about? Kind of makes us wonder. Indiana Jones movies, this side of 1980, those kind of movies have kept us from crowding movie theaters. But there are a few sequels that manage to keep us engaged and interested and buying tickets, and some that are arguably better than the movies that came before them. For example, Empire Strikes Back, or Trekkie fans might think The Wrath of Khan was a pretty awesome movie. Top Gun Maverick, did you see that? These are movies that prove that as long as the characters and stories are handled well, we're interested to see what happens next. We'll keep watching. We'll keep taking a look at things. And again, we might be able to argue that the sequel is even better than the movie that came before it in some cases. We'll put a pin in that thought, because in John chapter 14, Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples. This is, of course, before he's arrested, before he's crucified, before he raises from the dead. But he's telling them that all these things are about to happen. And he tells them specifically in verse 12 that since he's going back to the Father, that the disciples are going to kind of take over on his ministry. He says, in fact, you're going to do even greater things than I've done because I'm going back to heaven now. So pull the pin out and you kind of see where we're going with all this here. The sequel is sort of, the sequel to Jesus' ministry is the church, in a way. And so we're going to kind of talk about that today. So cue up the movie, pop the popcorn, dim the lights, because even though the ministry of Jesus on earth has come to a close, there's more to come as the church becomes, again, something of a sequel to his feature presentation. Today we're going to talk about how the Old Testament tells us that our ministry as the church, just like Jesus' ministry before us, is prophesied and has a part to play in God's big plan as well. With that, our sermon in a sentence today is that like Jesus, our ministry was foretold as well. Like Jesus, our ministry was foretold as well. If you're taking notes, I'll let you get that written down. And then we'll invite the Spirit to be a part of our time together. If you'll pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, I wonder if, as we said, knowing that our ministry, like Jesus before us, was also foretold and prophesied about, I wonder if that might give us a greater sense of purpose or motivation to be missional as Jesus was. Jesus knew the weight of the responsibility on his shoulders, and he worked hard while on earth to make sure that his ministry had an impact. And I pray that your Spirit would inspire us to work toward a similar goal. I understand we are not Jesus, but his Spirit does, in fact, impress upon us to be at work for the kingdom. So, Father, help us to be ready to do the work required of us and to honor him in all things. Father, make our ministry impactful and strong here on the earth. And we love you. We pray all this in Jesus through faith. Amen. One of the things that I really appreciate about Jesus' ministry as he gets toward the end of his time, again, just before he's arrested, is he speaks less in parables and he begins to speak more clearly, more plainly, hey, this is what's going to happen to me. And even though sometimes his disciples still quite, they're confused, they don't quite understand exactly what's going on, he straight up tells the disciples that he's planning to be back with the Father soon, so they're going to be running the show going forward. They're going to take over on ministry here, and what I want for us to see is that we play a role in that too. I want for us here at New Heights to take ownership of this mission. In Acts chapter 2, Peter and the apostles officially begin this ministry when the Holy Spirit descends upon them. You can read about that in Acts chapter 2, but you can also see a glimpse of it, that Easter egg, if you will, in Joel chapter 2. Now before you turn to Joel 2, let me kind of tell you what's going on, because this is kind of crazy. You know how every like 7 years or 17 years that the cicadas come? Yeah, but it seems like there's always kind of that nice calm summer, everything's great, and then they come, right? And you can't walk outside without that sound of what it sounds like to me. It sounds like somebody's put a pair of marbles in like a solo cup and is out there doing this. You know that sound. And so that's kind of what's going on in Israel during Joel's ministry. There is this infestation in Judah of locusts. And the prophet Joel calls the people to repent. He says God will listen. He'll take these things away. So this is one of those prophecies where it sees a couple fulfillments, one in Joel's day and then another that's continually being fulfilled through the church's ministry. So let's take a look. Joel says in chapter 2, verse 28, after doing all these things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on servants, men and women alike. And I will cause wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire in columns of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and terrible day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For some on Mount Zion and Jerusalem will escape, just as the Lord has said. These will be among the survivors whom the Lord has called. So when seeing and experiencing what is happening with the Holy Spirit coming down on the people in Acts chapter 2, Peter recalls this passage. Funny to me that when Jesus is saying things directly to him, he doesn't think about this stuff. But now that Jesus is gone, the veil has been lifted, the fog has cleared, and the Holy Spirit has opened their eyes. And suddenly the power of recall sets in. And Peter's like, oh yeah, I remember in Sunday school. Well, I guess it would have been Saturday school then. I remember reading about this and talking about this, and here we go. So interestingly, if you read Acts chapter 2, what's going on is that all the Jews are in town. This is one of three festivals where everybody makes the pilgrimage to Jerusalem. In fact, there might have been some that stayed from the Passover celebration. If they had relatives in town, they might have just set up a cot, because if they went all the way home, just to come all the way back like a month later, that would have been inconvenient. So in any case, Jerusalem is swollen with people. And here are a bunch of the people who, if you remember a couple weeks ago when we talked about Palm Sunday, these people who were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. And then a week later were shouting, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Well, they're all back in town. And the party goes on. And it's interesting because in this sermon, Peter calls those very people who were yelling, crucify him, to now confess Jesus as Lord. And I want to take just a minute and kind of center our thoughts on that phenomenon for just a second. It's wonderful that Jesus would allow that. We made a case last week that, you know, as incredible as it is, that while we were still enemies, while we were still sinners, that is when Jesus died for us, gave his life for us. Believers in that day had something of a relationship with Jesus, though it was hard to get to know him well because there were crowds that were always forming around him and he was always kind of on the go. But now believers could partner up with him because if they were baptized, the Holy Spirit would live in them, Peter says. And all these enemies, who Peter says in Acts 2:23 are partially responsible for Jesus' betrayal and his arrest and his crucifixion, they're now being offered the chance to repent and join the crew. What a remarkably high level of love that God must have for his people. My son Tristan, you might remember, he was the kid that we baptized last week. Remember that? Here's a funny story. This actually has nothing to do with anything, but I think it's cute, and I'm going to dote on my son for just a moment. When he went home that day, of course, we had dinner, and Grandma and Grandpa came over and all that jazz, but when everybody left, he decided to take a bath, and he baptized, like, all of his little toys. So if you're worried about some of your favorite fictional characters, R2-D2 will be in heaven. Sonic the Hedgehog will be in heaven. And I think our daughter's Little Mermaid doll was still in the tub. She'll be in heaven too. So we'll be in good company. Anyway, as you might remember, Tristan was baptized last week. And despite that fact, he has issues with his enemies. Maybe you can relate, but this kid can hold a grudge like you wouldn't believe. We're working on it. He understands that this isn't something that he can hold on to, but I just... 3 or 4 years ago, I don't know, it's been maybe even longer ago than that, we were living next door to this wonderful lady whose grandsons came over to visit. And somehow or another, all the kids ended up playing in our backyard together. We have a trampoline, a couple other things, you know, kids are playing, and it's fine, but they're all having a good time. Until one of the little boys picks up a toy that belongs to Tristan. Tristan, of course, interprets this as an act of war. And he, you know, gets in this kid's face and, hey, that's mine. And he, you know, okay, so the kid puts it down and no problem, no harm, no foul, right? Right. Except that here all this time later, we haven't seen this kid since that day. And we moved to a different part of the state entirely. We'll probably never see that kid again. But Tristan still remembers that. And every time he plays like with his little Lego minifigures and he has like a battle or something, or he tells a story, that kid, Ryder, is always the bad guy. Like, that kid can hold a grudge like nobody's business. Now, we explained to him, when he expressed the desire to be baptized, you need to live for Jesus and you need to live like Jesus. And Jesus is about nothing if he's not about what? Forgiveness. Even people who are his biggest enemies, even the people who put him on that cross, I said, look at this in Acts chapter 2. He forgives these folks and he invites them to be. And as a matter of fact, it's interesting to me that on the same day that Peter and all those guys are baptized or are filled with the Holy Spirit, the same day all these enemies of Jesus are also baptized and filled with God's Holy Spirit. The same day. And so in telling him that, like, intellectually he understands it. He's trying to interpret it here. Maybe you can relate to that. Maybe some things are harder than other things to just give up and get over. But what we have to understand, and I told Tristan this, is that part of our responsibility is to help Jesus build the kingdom that he has been waiting so long to build. It's a kingdom of acceptance, understanding, forgiveness, and unity. And again, it's a kingdom that he's been wanting to build for a long time, and it's wonderful that he calls us to be a part of it. You see, the big idea of what I want us to take home today, again, as our sermon in a sentence tells us, is that our ministry, just like Jesus' ministry was prophesied, so was ours. And we continue to kind of fulfill that prophecy in Joel throughout the church today. And we're not just a side plot or an afterthought or a crummy direct-to-video sequel that you'd pick up at the $2.99 bin of your local bowling alley. We are, in fact, part of God's plan for redemption for the world. Like Jesus before us, our ministry was prophesied to. If you are taking notes, that's something worth noting. The church is God's preferred method for communicating his love to people today. The church is God's preferred method for continuing to communicate his love to people today. And I hope that hearing that fills you with purpose, because again, you're the vessel through which God has decided to communicate the truth of Jesus Christ. You are that vessel. Or as Paul calls us in 2 Corinthians, We are his ambassadors. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and you'll have heard me say this before because this is one of my favorite scriptures. It makes our ministry so plain and clear. Starting with verse 16, Paul says, "We have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. We once regarded Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a what? A new person. That old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are, again, here it is, Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ." This passage reinforces the importance of our calling, the importance of our status in the kingdom, the importance of our ministry. And it was Odessa who said to me this morning, we all have that same ministry as Christians, right? That's on all of us here. Now, I know what you're thinking, but Zach, you joyfully judicious but jaw-droppingly janky judge of Joel's juicy jargon, I hear you say. It sounds like you're equating our ministry with Jesus, or even saying that our ministry is more important than Jesus's. Better be careful with that. And you're right to warn me, dear brothers and sisters. I thank you for that. I'm certainly not trying to say that we're more important than Jesus, not by a long shot. But bear in mind that Jesus himself said that we will do greater things than he did, not because we are greater, but because he's going to heaven now. And you know, we also, something to keep in mind, it's not anything that we do on our own power, but it's his Spirit on display through us that makes ministry happen. So truly, it's probably actually better described not as the church's ministry, but Jesus' ministry through his church. And in fact, if you're taking notes, I'd say that is something worth noting. Our ministry is actually Jesus' ministry through his church. Understanding our ministry this way should motivate us to, as Paul says in Galatians 5, chapter 5, keep in step with the Spirit. He says, if we live by the Spirit, we should keep in step with the Spirit. With this in mind, then, let me just ask, and this isn't one of those things, this is a rhetorical question. You don't have to actually answer it or raise your hand. I just want you to, in your thought, in your mind, let me ask you, are you someone who's fully engaged with the Spirit, or are you just coasting by in a spiritual sense? Is it, if it's true that God poured out his Spirit, not just on prophets and apostles, but also on people like you and me, then we need to make sure that we are in tip-top spiritual shape. We can be assured that we're on the right path if we're here regularly, sparking ideas off of one another, encouraging one another. Proverbs 27:17 says that as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another man. And if you're present with us on Sunday mornings, we love that. But maybe you can't be here on any given Sunday for one reason or another. Well, we've got fellowship opportunities throughout the week, and with that happening, we have the opportunity to kind of rub up against one another, and we sharpen each other out in that way. You know, we've got programs for folks midweek, pretty much of all ages. We have a monthly ministry for men, a monthly ministry for women specifically. And of course, in addition to all this, we would encourage you just to be present in God's Word, listening to him on a regular basis and communicating with him in prayer. Again, if we live by the Spirit, we need to keep in step with the Spirit. So I would encourage you to do all that you can to foster spiritual growth. Remember, according to what Joel has said, you're part of the plan that God predicted long ago. And this is not without a purpose. God gave us his Spirit to empower our ministry and to propel the gospel message forward. We will prophesy, dream, share a vision for the future of God's kingdom. We're not just to hoard all this power that we've been given to ourselves, but we are expected to be bold, to be bold witnesses for God's kingdom. Now, for those of you who've known me for any length of time, you know that I'm a big nerd. I mean, obviously, this whole series has been like based around movies and stuff like that. But I love my superheroes. And one of my favorites is Spider-Man specifically. I've got a couple cool in my office there, a couple cool Spider-Man figures. Pop your head in, check them out. I've got some rare comics, and I have a Spider-Man poster that is signed by Stan Lee. Now, if you don't know who Stan Lee is, first of all, I pity you. Second, this would be like saying I have a Mickey Mouse poster that's signed by Walt Disney. Like, this is the guy that helped put Spider-Man on the map. And I would guess, though, that even if you've never cracked open a comic book, but you know someone that has, you're probably familiar with Spider-Man's motto, first uttered by his late Uncle Ben, and that is that with great power comes great, what, Adam? Responsibility, absolutely. So let me just ask, is there any power that is greater than the power of the Holy Spirit? As Colin read for us today, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in you. Is there any more force on earth more powerful than that? Is there any responsibility greater than the responsibility to let people know that that same God loves them and offers them a way out of eternal damnation? Is there any greater responsibility than that? That's why we need to take this job seriously, because I would posit to you that there is not a greater power or a greater responsibility. Now, I would imagine that for some of you, that may sound at least somewhat intimidating, although maybe it's just me. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. I just found out that Albert Einstein was a real person. All this time, I thought he was a theoretical physicist. Yeah, if you like that joke, make sure you let Mindy Kennedy know. That's Mindy's joke, and I just stole it. So, yeah. Actually, I did find out something about Einstein this week that had me pretty excited, and I didn't know this. I'm given to understand that he did, in fact, finish his theory of relativity. It's about time. There we go. My guess, again, is that some folks find the idea of evangelism, sharing our faith, somewhat intimidating. But here's something for us to remember if we feel afraid. Again, Colin read this for us this morning, but I'd like to look at it again. Romans 8:11, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. If you ever feel intimidated by this responsibility, keep a couple things in mind. First, you're not alone. Even extroverts like myself sometimes have trouble bringing up this awkward conversation with folks. Second, remember that the same Spirit that powered Jesus' ministry powers yours as well. The same power that rose him from the grave, let alone allowed Jesus to do the spectacular things that he did in his life, that same Spirit lives within us. But as we have already discussed, Jesus played his part on earth, so now it's time for us to take over and carry the torch of ministry forward. Now, the really great news, and what makes all of this really easy for me to share, a couple things. First, keep in mind, what my ministry looks like is going to look differently than what your ministry looks like. We all have different gifts, we all have different strengths, and we all have different weaknesses. So where some of us are weak, luckily others are strong, and they can come in and do some of those things for us and help us out. And the second thing that makes it easy for us is because, man, I see New Heights doing it. I see New Heights taking ministry very seriously, and it's a very encouraging thing. You guys have carried God's word into our community, into your workplaces, into your schools, into your homes, and as a result, we're not only seeing growth in our church, but growth in the kingdom as well. We've been putting the baptistry to good use lately. I've been seeing new faces in the crowd. Our youth group kids, they're always inviting folks, you know, we've got plenty more things coming down the pipe. We've got the Kids Hope situation we're going to be doing, taking ministry into the schools. We've got Mahoning Valley Camp coming up this summer, which New Heights now leads 2 weeks, and the retreat in the winter, so that's pretty fun. We've got the New Heights at the Movies event planned, and several more things that are coming down the pike as well. We also have a number of faithful servants who provide a meal for the folks at the Haven on those Wednesday nights. I think it's the third Wednesday of every month. And it's not just the community that we're serving, but I see you serving each other too. I see people providing meals for folks who've just gone into surgery, and I've run into some of you while I'm doing my hospital visits. You're there to visit people in the hospital too, and I love that. You volunteer your time to teach kids or to watch the little ones so that mom and dad can get a break and enjoy an hour of worship without, hey mom, hey mom, hey mom. Believe me, I've heard that, except that it's usually, hey dad, but you get the picture. Several of you take ministry to the shut-ins, take communion to our shut-ins who can't make it to church. I'm encouraged by the people who clean our building, care for our yard, water our plants, keep our books going. I'm encouraged by your generosity that helps fund these ministries and keeps our lights turned on, allows us to pay our staff. I'm grateful again to everyone who helped with last Sunday's Easter breakfast or the worship service that was either Saturday night or Sunday morning, not to mention the folks who make our regular Sunday morning services work around here. And there are others. I'm sure I'm forgetting. I don't mean to. But all this and more besides to say that it fills my heart with joy as your pastor and as a minister and as an elder and as a whatever. I'm just glad that our church takes ministry seriously and is out there sharing the word. I just want to encourage you to keep it going. If you're with us here today, if you're new, if you're visiting, or if you're watching online and you're just tuning in, whatever your reason might be, if you're looking for a church home to belong to, I would humbly submit New Heights as a thought for you, because if you become a part of this church, you're becoming a part of a spirit-filled and empowered community that takes that mandate to go into all the world seriously. You've heard of some of the things we're doing locally. There are also several ministries that we support abroad, including some that have gone out from our number and have responded to the call of the mission field. We've got one of our TCM ministers that is going to be coming this week on Thursday night to share with us. If you'd be interested in coming at 6:10 for our adult Bible study, they're going to speak more about that. We would invite you to come and be a part of that. And again, just a lot going on here at New Heights and plenty of space for you to jump in as well. Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says in verse 8 that God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So looking back over the last few weeks, this month we've covered how God saved us by his grace through his Son and the sacrificial gift of Jesus. When we respond to that gift in faith, when we're baptized into him, he puts his Spirit in us, enabling us to do the good things that he planned for us long ago. And New Heights is a church where you can explore the use of those gifts, find encouragement and brotherhood and sisterhood as well. And as you do, and as you grow deeper in your faith as a result of the teaching and preaching of God's word here, we just encourage you, if you're looking for that church home, consider us. Now, if you have considered that and you've already done that and you've been baptized a long time ago and you're like, I've done this, been there, done that, what now? Well, our three weekly challenges are something to consider. The first of which is this. Challenge number one is to join the legacy. Remember, God had a plan for his church hundreds of years before she was founded. That's something of a legacy. He had a plan not to sit and be comfortable in a nice air-conditioned building, which is, of course, very nice. I like to sit in air-conditioned buildings. But he wants us to be active in the world and boldly showing people what the kingdom of God looks like. So I would encourage you, if it's been a while since you've engaged the world in this way, give it a shot. Pray that God would fill you with boldness, especially if some of that work does seem scary or intimidating. And look for ways that you can encourage people or represent Jesus to them. Remember that Jesus went out of his way to let even lowly people know that they matter to him. So let's join his legacy of love and share him with the people we encounter. Challenge number two is to join the team. So join the legacy, join the team. In this context, what I mean by team is, consider how you might fit into the ministry teams here at New Heights. Or if there's one that doesn't exist yet and you think it should exist, come see me after class. We'll get you plugged in. We'll get things started. Sometimes the most creative ideas about what a team should be don't occur to me. And so if the Holy Spirit has laid something on your heart, let me know. Sometimes I need to be reminded that there are other areas of ministry that need help or that need to be organized entirely. So if you'd like to serve, let me know. We'll get you plugged in. Remember, we're not serving to earn our salvation. We're serving because we've been saved and because we're grateful to the Master who's given us everything. The final challenge then is to join the family. And while it's wonderful that we can love and explore a relationship with God through personal and regular communication with the Father and the reading of His Word, don't forget that He's called us to live in community. He's called us to be together. As iron sharpens iron, so we sharpen one another. So if you're looking for a church to call home, to call your family, to support you when the world or when life strikes, consider New Heights. We can't promise to be perfect. In fact, I promise we're not perfect. But we are a loving church, and we will embrace you and work with you toward the same goal of building His kingdom. Remember that the same Spirit who filled Peter at Pentecost fills you. You may not see tongues of fire or hear a rushing wind, but make no mistake, if you belong to Jesus, the fire burns within you. Don't underestimate what God can do through someone who simply says yes to Him. The Spirit was poured out not just to fulfill a prophecy, but to empower a people, us. The story didn't end at the empty tomb or at Pentecost. It continues through all of you, through your faith, through your obedience, and through your love. You know, I mentioned earlier, just before we wrap things up, I mentioned earlier that I thought that Empire Strikes Back was possibly greater than the movie that came before it, and certainly just it was just as entertaining and engaging, and personally, I think Return of the Jedi is equally great because I love all the fuzzy, feral teddy bear people that you find in that movie. But I digress. I think part of the reason why those series of movies did so well and are so culturally beloved is because from the beginning, George Lucas had wrote that movie, that trilogy, as one big movie. He had a plan for it from the start, and when it became clear that it was too long to be one movie, he chopped it up into three pieces, and you know, the rest is history. But the point is that his story is so widely loved by audiences that span generations, I think primarily because he had a plan when he put his pen to paper. In our sermon series this last month, we illustrated that God did too. As early as Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, we saw that God had Jesus in mind to be our Redeemer. In Isaiah and Zechariah, we read about the ministry, legacy, and ultimate destiny of Jesus and His victory. And in Joel, we see that we too, as the church, are a part of that plan. We're part of the story. I wonder if you've got a plan with Jesus in mind. Maybe you do. I would imagine that most of us here today probably have made some decision regarding Jesus and whether or not we're going to follow Him, and most of us probably have been following Him for some time. And some days are easier than others, of course. We've had bumpy roads along the way. We've made some mistakes. But we rejoice because we know that He has us, and nothing can ever pluck us from His hand. And I'll bet that most of us here today have made that decision. Don't regret having made it. But not all of us have made that decision. In fact, I would guess that there are a few of us here or watching online today who have yet to make a decision for Jesus. And if that's you that I'm describing, then here in just a moment, we're going to have the band come forward. They're going to do one final song. I'll be hanging out right here. And if today is your day to follow Jesus, come on forward. If you'd rather talk through that before you do it, get a hold of me throughout the week. I would love to connect with you and talk with you about what it means to follow Jesus. But for now, let's pray together, if you'll pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Jesus, not only for His salvation, for His redeeming work on the cross, but also that You saw fit to give us a family in His church, that He would make us a part of it, that He would give us a purpose and share His love with others. Father, help us first to respond to that love ourselves if we haven't. I pray that if there are anyone in the house or watching online or through some other means hearing this message, I pray that today would be the day that they would come forward and be a part of Your family. Second, I pray for those who do that or for those who have done that, if they're a part of the family but they're not actively serving, show them the right spot, the right path, the right team to be a part of. And Father, help us all to be those ambassadors of Christ that You call us to be. And Father, we also pray that Jesus would come soon. We pray in His name through faith. Amen.